Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So, in the interest of disclosure, Mohammed El-Baradei, who heads the United Nations nuclear watchdog, says that Iran has agreed to actual inspection date of its nuclear facility located and revealed underneath the city of Qom.
We agreed that our inspectors will come here on the 25th of October to do the inspection and to go to Qom.
So the facility is announced, the demand for inspections is made by the U.S. and other nations, and Iran agrees. It all looks like cooperation, but there's a serious dispute going on among intelligence officials and governments involved with Iran on the question of nuclear policy as to whether Iran already has the capability of making a bomb. And David Sanger joins us now, chief Washington correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, John. How are you?
I mean, it appears as though If the United States expected Iran to take a hard line here and refuse inspections, that they really played this wrongly. Even on this program, the IAEA ambassador from Iran was saying, sure, we'll have inspections immediately. Is there something I'm missing here?
No. Once the secrecy around the Qom plant, which was built under a mountain on a Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps base, was blown, that plant is basically not terribly useful to them. And the U.S. position at the beginning was they didn't think that they had gotten to the final stage of putting in the centrifuges, these, you know, big machines that spin uranium and enrich it. So by the time the inspectors get in there, which will be a month to the day after President Obama and President Sarkozy and Prime Minister Brown made the announcement about the existence of this facility, which was not a great secret to those of us who have. We knew there was a facility somewhere,
right,
not where. By the time they get to that, you know, that place is likely to be pretty well cleaned out. I mean, I'm not saying there's going to be a sports bar and big screen TVs on the inside, but
that would be news.
I suspect you're not going to see a whole lot on the inside by the time they get there. The big question is, what about the facilities that would feed it? Because this facility by itself doesn't make any sense. You'd need a covert network feeding it.
I see. So, on the one hand, Iran appears to be trying to drive a wedge between the U.S. and other allies who are supposedly trying to project solidarity on sanctions against Iran. First of all, have they managed to do that? And secondly, the Israelis and the French intelligence officials who broke this story last week that no, Iran actually has the know-how to produce a bomb, want to shift the discussion away from facilities and to this sort of murkier know-how question. What do you make of both of those things?
Well, the story that I think you're referring to isn't the French and the Israelis. The Israelis and the French have believed for some time. They've disagreed for some time, as I've reported and my colleague Bill Broad has reported, with the U.S. assessment that design work stopped in 2003. The news that we reported in the Times yesterday was that internally the IAEA's own experts have put together a report. It's about an 80-page sort of running summary of what they know about Iran, and they have concluded that Iran has all the knowledge now that it needs and designs that it obtained elsewhere, whether it was from AQ Khan, from Pakistan, from China, from Russian scientists, whatever, that they have put together enough knowledge to build a weapon. That doesn't mean that they're doing it.
So what's the takeaway there? I mean, you can drop a bomb on a reactor, but you can't drop a bomb on know-how, right?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, the Iranians have figured that out.
And how do when's the cutoff line? I mean, what they've basically said is they know how to build a bomb, but we don't know if they have the will or the equipment, right?
So they know how to build the bomb, and we don't know whether they have the will, and we do believe they have, at least for now, a small amount of nuclear material you could be converted to use for that.
So, I mean, at what point do we say they have the will to build a nuclear weapon and they've started building it?
You know, will's a very difficult thing to figure out, and usually you only figure it out in retrospect.
Right.
So, you know, we're all sitting here remembering the intelligence failures about Iraq, where we overestimated where they were.
Right.
But remember that before that were a whole series of intelligence failures where we underestimated countries. We had suspicions, deep suspicions for years about Pakistan, but weren't sure they'd made the decision until one day we woke up and they did a nuclear test.
And Libya basically surprised the Bush administration with a lot of its nuclear revelations, right?
That's right, but they had the equipment, but they didn't know what to do with it. They had bought the stuff from AQ Khan, and I guess the instruction book was still written in Urdu because they had not even begun to assemble it.
So I guess on the other side, you can analyze this as, well, hey, the Iranians are being completely cooperative, that this is a sign of an intent on the part of the Iranians to actually develop a cooperative relationship with the U.S. and the international community, because Ahmadinejad is actually under some pressure politically in his own country.
One could hope. And, you know, that depends on what kind of inspections you're going to see. I've spent some time talking to the IAEA and to U.S. officials and European officials on this. And, you know, the easy headline is get everybody into the plant. But that is not really what they want. They want to be able to interview the engineers. They want to be able to look at the blueprints. You know, for 3 years, the IAEA has been trying to get interviews with a guy who most Americans have never heard of, named Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. He is the head of what's called Project 110 and 111, which seem to be the military-related projects for nuclear in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
The Iranians have said he's not available for interview, and he never will be.
David Sanger, I hate to do this to you. Is it more complicated this week than last week, U.S. policy on Iran? Have the Iranians made it more complicated or less complicated?
You know, they have made it more complicated, but they're very good at this. I mean, you know, they've been around negotiating for 3,000 years. We've only had like 250
right.
years of this,
good.
Right? And they know how to drag this out, and it's going to be very challenging.
Right.
You know, engagement's a great bumper yep. sticker in a campaign. This is what it looks like in governing.
All right. David Sanger, Chief Washington Correspondent for our partner, The New York Times.